Welcome to fucking Candyland, hosted by Rampage and Gemini.
We are so excited that you're listening to us. If you want to elevate the experience and see these interviews on video, you can join either one of our Patreons. They are linked in the description wherever you're listening to this podcast episode, in addition to getting to watch the full-length video interviews. We also both have tons of additional content and support for the spiritual community. So go ahead and check those out. And then if you're ever interested in readings with us or personally connecting with us, we also have our websites and social medias linked in the description as well. Feel free to share this episode with everybody that you know. Get the Lick It Like a Lollipop name spread around, and we hope you love this episode.
Welcome back to another episode of Candyland. We're really excited tonight. We've got a new guest, and Gemini, introduce.
Yes, we have JC on the podcast. I first found you from when you were on, I think it was on MTV, and it was like, Are You the One? Was like the dating show that you were on. Welcome.
Hello. Yes. First of all, thank you so much for having me. I'm super excited. I love the setting. I love everything about it because I don't feel like everyone's watching right now and that pressure. So you guys might get some good tea here tonight. But yes.
Great. I love
that.
Thank
you so much for having me. Yes, to answer your question, it was, Are You the One? It was.
Are You the One? Does it like make you, first of all, you're talking about like there being a lot of pressure of like people watching and stuff like that. Do you feel like once that aired, you all of a sudden had like this scope and lens on you?
Oh yeah. Millions of people watched it. So yeah, I definitely felt that way. Anything I said or did, wherever I went, people just knew who I was. Not everyone, because not everyone watches TV. So there was a fair amount of people who were like, I'm sorry, I never saw TV before, but or like saw reality TV, but most people knew. And yes, I definitely, my life changed after that a lot, and mentally, it's a whole thing.
Well, and like, that's such a vulnerable topic too, just like trying to be in a relationship with somebody and doing that on a public platform where then people are judging like what your reactions and everything are too. Feel like, do you feel like that has let you though be more vulnerable when it comes to like doing your poetry and stuff like that?
Yeah, I do. I guess I never thought about it that way, but it is true, because I started writing when I was on the show. Well, when the show aired, because I had a blog. Because, you know, there was a lot of misconceptions of people with what was going on. And I was getting a lot of hate too. And so I started a blog on Tumblr back then. And that's where I actually wrote my first poems and stuff like that. So I definitely think that being a part of that and under the public eye like that, and everybody like having an interest in my life, it helped me express myself better.
So with the dating show, how long was the process to get accepted? Because I had got accepted onto a dating show that I guess they like scrapped the budget, because it wasn't like MTV. It was like, it was called like Local Love or something. And they would go to different cities. And this was like last year. But then I found out that like the guy, he got 3 dates and I was just one of them. So I'm like, I wasn't even the main character. I don't even like this.
Girl, oh my gosh. I love that. I commend you though for that, because that happened to me on a recent dating show that I went on in Miami. But yeah, to answer your question, we always get into other topics, like that's how it is. But to answer your question, it was, for me, it was an individual journey, because I remember I had actually applied to be on MTV years before that. But it was for a different show, and I got to the finalists, but it didn't work out. But then when I got called for a dating show, I was a little bit skeptical, but I was like, you know what? I do want love in my life. And who knows? My mom was like, girl, maybe your man is there. Like, this is, has to be fate. Like, and they actually had called me. They had called me to see, like, did I want to reapply, you know, reapply to a different show that they had, because like they already had, they knew who I was, you know, and I had that big personality, all the things. And so, but I did have to go through a regular casting, all of it. It took a couple of months. I had to go through different steps and interviews. I went to LA a couple of times, and then I got the call, and I was just so happy, because I remember when they had first called me, I was like, I don't know, I have to think about it. And then I hung up, and my best friend, she was like, girl, are you dumb? That's MTV that just called you. And I was like, you're right. I called back and I was like, I'm sorry, I was in shock. And they were like, no, it's okay. Like, here's the papers, here's the stuff. And, you know, you think you're special, but then you get to the castings and the auditions, and there's like hundreds and hundreds of people, thousands even, with big personalities and all of it. And you think like, I don't know if I'm going to even get casted. But then you, then it happens, you know? Like, I feel like I manifested that without even knowing what manifesting meant. But yeah.
How long was the entire process from like when you started, when you first went to like that casting versus like when the show wrapped up?
I would say a year. I mean, I could tell you literally, I went to Hawaii October 18 of 2020. Wait, no, not 2020. This was like 8 years ago. of 2014, I think it was 2013 or 2014, one of those. And we were out there filming for 40 days. So that's what it took to film, 40 days. So it was cool to be in Hawaii that amount of time. And then after that, it took, I think it took about 5-6 months, something like that. And then it aired. So you do have a time in between where they're editing, doing all the things. When we did the reunion, the show had just like started like airing. So the whole process, I would say, takes about a year from beginning to end. And you're like, okay, the last episode, it's over, you know, and then your life takes off from there in any way that you decide to go.
So I have a question about that. So for like a regular person, like they just expect you to quit your job and just go to Hawaii for 40 days, or like, how does that work? They just expect
you to recruit? I mean, I had a job in the beginning, like I had a job. I just so happened to work in the airline industry at the time. And so it was low season and I was able to ask for a leave of absence and stuff like that. But yeah, if you want to be a part of it, like they're not caring if you work or not, like you have to figure that out.
And they pay your travel to go there and everything like that.
Yeah. So for this show, they paid my travel, they paid food, they paid, anything, transportation. They actually paid me. Like, I don't remember how much it was, but it was like 4,000, something like that. And then on top of that, it was the price of $1 million divided between 20 people. So 50K
each. So it's been like so long since I watched that.
Yeah, I'm not like a big TV person at all. Like, I barely know anything about reality TV. So I was like really anxious to ask you some of those questions, because I don't think people realize when they apply to these shows that if you do get picked, it is like an uprooting of your life. Because we have a girl that we just had on the podcast, VI Peach, and she applies for Survivor every year. And like, we talked about that. That is not my thing. Like, I do not want to do no Naked and Afraid, no Survivor, no.
That's so funny that you said that. Like, girl, what's your sign?
Taurus.
Because like, you're saying things that I'm like, oh my gosh. Because for instance, I like just yesterday or the day before, I felt like I woke up and I was just attracting a lot of like hate, more of that. And it was because I was giving my attention to it. Like, I take responsibility for it. But one of the people, and this is people from different parts of the world, hey, and I'm like, and they were like, oh, that's why you haven't been hired on no more reality shows and stuff like that. And I'm like, if you only knew that I chose to get out of that line of work, it was never that I wouldn't be hired or accepted. I was called to be on The Challenge. You know, you've heard of that show on MTV? It's called The Challenge, and it's been around forever. And it's something like that where you're like competing and doing all this extra athletic shit and stuff like that. And that's not me. Like, that's not me. And so I declined. And like other members of the Are You the One that were there can attest, like there was helmets with my name, with my perfect match's name from the show. Like, but I didn't go because I was just like, you know what? I'm the type of person that I'm not going to be on TV or anything that seems beneficial because just to do that or because of the fame. There has to be a reason there and something where I'm like, it makes sense. And for me to go out there to fucking Costa Rica or wherever it was to, you know, risk my life or something and just expose myself in those ways, I was like, no. But the dating scene, that is something that I was like interested in. For some reason, I was like, yeah, maybe, you know, my man is up there like in on the show or somewhere, like it has to be that way. That's what I thought. So yeah. That I accepted. But anything else, I'm not doing it if I don't feel like I'm the main character or like it's going to be beneficial to my life because money, it comes and goes. Like I'm not competing for it. It's just going to come to me always.
Yes. I cannot do any survival shows. Like I know someone who was on Naked and Afraid, like my friend's older brother, and there's just no fucking way. Like those people are on there butt ass naked, crying, getting ate by mosquitoes, like starving. Like there's just no way, no amount of money would ever make me want to do that. And that's what we talked about on the last podcast about like that survival stuff. And she was like, oh, yeah, that's what I like. That's my kind of jam. And I'm like, that's all you, boo. And she's also a Taurus. Like, she's a Taurus, too. But, like, that's all you, girl. Because there's no fucking way I'm going out into a forest getting ate up by spiders, snakes, whatever. I'm not doing it.
Some people won't even do what I did. Like, some people, they just won't. They won't, you know, they don't have that confidence to be on a reality show. But again, I did, and I'm with you. Like, I wouldn't do those things. I wouldn't be on any show that degrades me. Or I also got accepted for the Bad Girls Club. Didn't do that either because, like I said, I'm not going to do anything that, you know, that is just not beneficial to me in the long run because those things, people do it just for the fame. Nothing else. For the fame, for the rush.
That follows you around forever. Like doing something like the Bad Girls Club, like that follows you around forever. And when you're out here back in the real world, people are like, oh, I actually don't want to hire you because you're volatile and you're going to have problems with coworkers and all types of shit. Do you get like a different, like if you see reality shows now, like Love is Blind is like super popular, do you still watch those things? And are you like, oh, like I understand the behind the scenes, or do you not?
I do. I love Love is Blind. The 28, I think the 29 is the new episode. Like I be watching it because I like it because it's like kind of like sort of right what I did. But I think in a sense better because you don't see the person and you are able to connect in that way. But I do see it and I'm like, yes, I know what they're all going through. Like, I feel like I know what it's like. And I know that a lot of it is real. It is real. Like, you know, some people think, oh, reality TV is fake. No, it's real. They manipulate a lot of the scenes, you know, sometimes so it can look like something. But whatever what we are living is real. Like. And it's something else. A week there feels like a month. Over there, 3 days is a week. I say over there because it's a reality world. Like 3 days is a week. That's how, you know, everything is just like a time capsule thing. You're just like not in real world, like you were saying, when you're a part of those things.
So when you say that you got accepted to the Bad Girls Club, did you apply or like once you put an application out there, these networks have that application? How does that process work?
Well, for me, I just feel like everything has been different than for others. I'm sure other people can resonate maybe somewhere in the world, but they reached out to me. They reached out to me.
There was a girl in our city that was on the Bad Girls Club. I can't even think of her name. She wasn't like someone I cared about, but
yeah, yeah.
Like on there starting drama and acting ratchet and fighting. And I was just like, no.
Yeah. So one of the casting directors reached out to me through Instagram. And then I did fill out the application and they wanted, and I remember we even had like a back and forth because like they weren't sure like about, you know, if they wanted to have me there on one side because they felt like I was a real bad girl, because back in the day I wasn't all zen like now. You know, whoever watched the Are You the One knows that in the first episode, I think I was already like not fighting, but like in arguments and stuff. And like, I'm Puerto Rican, so I have that spicy side. I don't care for that behavior anymore, but I used to be like, you know, what people would consider bad girl part of me. I'm a Libra, so it's like a balance. But yeah, so they weren't sure because of some of my answers. They were like, is this girl going to come here and fuck somebody up for real? Or like, and I'm like, but what do you want? Like, I'm being transparent. And then just at the end of the day, it didn't feel right. So I was just like, no, because like I said, at the end of the day, it has to feel right for me. Anything that I'm a part of, if it's like, if it's not a hell yes, it's a hell no for me.
You know, I made a card deck and that's in the cards. Like, that's one of the cards. If it's not a hell yes, it's a hell no. Swear. And you said you were a Libra. I'm a Libra moon. So I love, like, Taurus and Libra are sister signs and I'm all about
Libra. I'm also a Libra moon.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing. Yeah, so I do think that a lot of people underestimate your, like, energy whenever you don't just subject and sign up for everything. You know, like, a lot of people want attention, and that's what you were saying about like the fame. We've seen that, especially with like some of the people with the bigger TikTok followings, and people like will commit to come on to the podcast and then like last minute they're like, well, I have dinner plans now, or I have this, or I have something came up, and it's not like genuine. It's like, you're a small platform and now I don't have time for you kind of energy. Yeah. And so I love when people are just like upfront and honest about what works for them, what doesn't work for them, because I can tell when someone's genuine and like genuinely doing something because they want to do it, or they're just being fake as fuck. And so a lot of like with MTV shows and reality shows, I don't think people realize that when you put a certain version of yourself out there for the world to see, that's who they've, you know, attached themselves to. And it's like, we talked about that with the Teen Mom situation. And like, I just don't know why people worship the Teen Mom girls. I'm not hating on them. I'm just like, you know, I was 14 right there with y'all. And I look back on that and I'm like, why are we worshiping them 20 years later and like worried about every little thing they do? But it's like, so many people live in the shadow of others because they're not confident or they don't want to be seen. So they're just judging and hating and just projecting that onto people. So when you say that you were entertaining some hate, was this coming from your following now or from the show or just
you know why I'm laughing? Because your spiritual vibe today, or I don't know if it's every day, but you're like right on, like 100% touching up on all the things, because like that's exactly where I was going to go back to the hate part. And when you said people are attached to that, you know, what you presented on the show or like before, that's exactly what happened. One of the people that were hating, which was recently, this was yesterday, the day before, something like that. One of those people was, which is the one who was saying, oh, that's why you haven't been hired and stuff. He knows me from the show. And I know because he's saying, oh, I used to like you when you were on the show, but right now you're a completely different person. Mind you, this was 9 years ago or some shit like that. So it's like people change, they evolve. You know what I'm saying? So like, but I'm still the same person. I'm just grown, evolved. But he was like, oh, I liked you when you were on the show. Now you're a different person. He said, now you're like in a cult or something. And I was just like, he was like, you're preaching out there like if you're in a cult and a witch and all these things. And I'm like, what? That's
that's what people see now. Like, I was in shock. I'm like, no, I'm a person who decided to help people with her platform and be real and not care about anything else. But yeah, it's hard because a lot of people, they're stuck on that, even with my body type, everything. And it's just like, put it to rest now. Like, we're in a different time.
We talk all the time about how when people are on their spiritual journey, all of a sudden people are super triggered and they don't like new versions of you because they liked knowing what to expect and like who you used to be in that other version of yourself. And using your platform for anything other than, I feel like, just like showing off only your body now is like, people are like, I can't believe that that woman has the audacity to be thinking, to be expanding people's minds, to be talking about the full moon out there, to be talking about this different energy. And anytime that you say something that goes against like what like the normal grain is, people jump to assumptions. So like the everybody who's spiritual is like a witch thing, and that you're out here doing negative stuff if you're doing the witch, you know, if you're doing stuff with witchcraft, or that you really are part of a cult. And I listen, I think that anytime that you get insulted by anything or put down about anything, you should figure out a way to monetize on that, because nothing like gets you money quicker than somebody not liking you but supporting you. And so I got called a cult leader all the fucking time. And so I've like made that a part of my fucking brand. We have a candle that collection that just came out yesterday. We have a cult leader scent in there. Like, it, you... With you having the platform that you do, like, so much like transmutation magic you could do, I feel like. And I don't know like how actually into witchy shit you are, but you could totally make like a ward so that and like transmute it. So anytime that somebody is talking negatively on your name, you like transmute that energy into abundance for yourself.
Ooh, I love that. So I, when it comes to those kinds of things, I feel like I'm tapped in with the moon. I feel like that's helped me a lot. So I do have a women's circle and we get together, you know, every full moon. And we have our little thing that we do, but I wouldn't say that I'm a witch, but I feel like I maybe don't know, you know, like, I don't know. Like, I'm just in that process where I've been pretty much obsessed with the law of attraction and just how that works in the brain and how that works on some physics, those kinds of things. That's my vibe. And you know, that's really what I believe in. And I also believe that the moon has a huge impact on our behavior. And it's just a very, very powerful energy. And I've witnessed that power, you know, by tapping in. But when it comes to like being more specific and like, you know, like I have my cards, my mermaid and dolphins cards, and this was like a gift and it was just like, you know, it kind of all came together, but I don't do it on the regular. Like, I'll do it for myself, or if it feels like I'll be called to do it for someone, you know, like I just, it's a feeling, but not something that I do ongoing. But the law of attraction and just like just the spiritual stuff, I'm sharing it now because it's what has worked for me. Not that I've been a part of it with anybody else. Like, it's just worked for me. And I just like, with the platforms that I have, I bring people together. And so whenever I'm doing, I feel called to say like, hey, you want to join me? And then people come and then we manifest. But yeah, I'm fairly new at the witch stuff. So yeah, I don't know where my place is there, if any, but I vibe with everything and with everyone, and I respect everyone. And I just feel like that shouldn't ever be a factor that separates two people from vibing, you know, whatever you believe in, as long as we're all respectful. And I do feel like we're in the same vibe, but maybe I'm just like early on to kind of like identify with one of those things. Oh, we're identify with many,
but definitely in the same vibe, because for one, your nails are on point. Every time your nails come up, I'm like, I fucking love those. Yeah, I love people who utilize their platform for expression, because so many people have suppressed women throughout history and made us feel like our voice didn't matter, or that our thoughts were not important, or that witchcraft is bad. And really, the thing about witchcraft is, like, I've seen people call it like the woman in total control of herself, and it spells witch. And so it's like, at the end of the day, women have a power. We are a portal that brings life to this dimension. So that is witchcraft in itself. And I think that's why, like, men throughout history have done very well in, like, brainwashing women of their true power and kind of taking back that power from us. And now in the universe that we're all existing in and coexisting, women are coming together and we're supporting one another and we are uniting. And I love that you do a full moon circle, because that's what we're doing tonight. We always do.
I heard. That's why I was like, okay.
Yeah, like, we always do it on the full moon weekend. And we always, like, probably do it either the day before or the day after, just to give people space for their own rituals on the day of. But yeah, it's really such a beautiful energy to work with the cosmos and with astrology and just, like, the very natural explanations of, like, the seasons. You know, like, we had the Lunar New Year recently, and now I've been feeling much more motivated and feels like things are shaking loose. But a lot of people have just forgot their true nature because we're so wrapped up in, like, artificial 3D existence, like that work, eat, sleep schedule. So we love to see people, and that's one of the reasons we wanted to have you on the podcast, is just, like, bringing people together that are in support of each other's unique abilities. You know, there's no need to define what everyone's gifts are if you are tapped in with your essence, because other people can feel that. You know what I mean?
Yes, absolutely. I agree. Like, people who come to my women's circle and to my manifestation workshops, they believe in different things. Like, some of them are very religious and some of them are not. Some of them are spiritual. Some don't believe in nothing, and but they believe in my, I don't know, in my journey or the way that I explain things. It just resonates. Like, anything that I know, the knowledge that I hold, I learned from someone. Like, I've, you know, done my research, I've studied, I've learned. And so, you know, it's been a journey. We can all come together, like you said, if you believe in yourself and you can tap in with you. And, you know, we set an intention for what we want to be of a blessing in our lives. So even me coming here, I set the intention that this is of a blessing to my life and to our lives, and that we get something good from it, even if it's just, like, to raise our vibration and keep up that momentum with all of our energies. And so it's been a journey. It's been such a journey. Like, I did the thing with the body, like you were saying, with the body, showing my body always, like, on the pictures and stuff. And now that I do something different, people are taken aback, but I feel like this is the important work that I need to do. This is what I have to put out there, because when we share these messages of how we have been brainwashed through our entire lives, believing certain things, not only from men, but from women, from our parents, from our environment, that's what's been in our subconscious. It's been there programmed. And once I realized that truth, my entire life changed. And I just knew, like, I have to put the message out there. But recently, I've also realized that it's really not my job to make people understand what we know, you know, about manifesting. I think that it's not our job. If we feel called to do it, we can do it. And the chosen ones, the people that are ready to receive your message and vibe with you, they will come. They will listen. They will do. But you can't just try and save the world, because that's not why we came here. We came to enjoy our own path and to feel and to learn and to grow and to achieve and witness our own power. And so that's what I'm realizing now. So that's why I'll put videos out there and stuff, but it's not my mission. It's just part of my purpose. That was a lot. Sorry.
No, that's super beautiful. I know that Paige and I do classes too. So Paige does tarot classes. And so you've done two rounds of those?
Yeah.
She just did her second round of the tarot class. And then I teach a, I teach three witchcraft classes and a mediumship class. And I think that it's such a big thing too, when you start having people inside of like your community space and they are looking to you as somebody who's like giving education, you're like so proud of the people who are like pouring into themselves and who get it and who are on the vibe. And then also, I don't know if you guys have experienced this, but I've been working through the not getting like frustrated if people put themselves inside of that community space, but then they don't take out of it like what I'm teaching. Like there will be people who I'm like, but like you committed to this energetically and like you told yourself that you were going to give yourself like the 6 weeks or whatever, and like you were going to do the homework and you were going to do the things. So like, why are you cheating yourself out of the experience? And I've done, I think, three rounds of the witchcraft classes, and I'm just now starting to get to the point where I'm like, there's so many people who do want to pour in and who do want to get like as much as they can of like the education and the experience. And those are the people who deserve all of the energy and all of the time. And the people who aren't ready for it in the moment, it's not because I'm letting them down. Like, I think it goes back to an ego thing where like, I'm not letting them down. It's not that I'm not providing enough. It's that wherever you are right now in your healing journey, you're not ready for this. But subconsciously, I hope that you're like taking all the things and absorbing it in, and that you like, you know, stay here so that when you are ready, you can like have that total experience. Do you feel like with you guys that you have that too?
Yeah, I do. And what I tell people now, I used to be like that, just like you when, you know, you're trying to tell them, but you're like, you're not, you know, doing what you said you're going to do. You're the one cheating yourself out of the experience or out of, you know, seeing your power. Like, I've been there. But now that I learned that really, that's really not my job. It's something I want to do, you know, like I like to paint. I like to do this. I like to do that, my poetry, but that's really not my job. And now that I understand that my job is me and that's really what it is, what I tell people when they like that, I'm like, people love to argue for their limitations. I used to be one of those people, but I was able to surpass that, to understand that, you know, there is a certain level of commitment that you have to have and awareness, right? So I always try to tell those people, you know, like, I'm not gonna, you know, insist. Everyone loves to argue for their limitations. I used to be one of those people. But you have to try. You can't just give up. But if you want to, that's on you, you know? That's on you. Like, I tell them just like that, because it's hard for people to understand the energy work. That's the thing. So you can't be hard on yourself. You do what you can. Who's ready will come. Who's going to flourish, they're going to feel it. It's going to resonate. They're going to feel called to do it. But whoever doesn't, they're just not aligned. They're not ready. And it's not your job to convince them otherwise.
Yeah, we've learned that the hard way, because we have communities that we were just letting, you know, anyone and everyone into this community. Obviously, there was an energy exchange. But I think at one point, hers was like $5 and mine was like $7. So for a whole month, you could be a part of this community space. And it was kind of like when you're a kid and your mom's like, okay, now play nice. We'll see you all later. And we come back and like the house is on fire and people are like throwing shit at each other. So it was like that with grown individuals, girl, grown individuals. And they're stirring up shit, talking about Gemini thinks she's a cult leader and Paige doesn't give me my reading when I want it. And just like all this, like back and
forth. Oh my God.
And they like ganged up and started their own clique. And then like over the summer, they had a spiritual retreat together. And I was like, that's great. I'm happy for y'all, because this was a thorn in my side, like dealing with you all. And some of these people are like I'm 31. These people are like 45, 55 in their 60s, like women, like grown grandmothers in this world out here acting a fool. And it was just like, we learned the hard way that like the people who are going to do the work will do the work, regardless. But a lot of people just do the work for show. They do it in front of you, but then behind the scenes, they're, you know, drilling holes in the boat because they're trying to sink the ship because they're not the captain or whatever. And so we've learned that, like, throughout the last couple of years, just like letting people go and like letting them be themselves, not judging that, not taking that personal. But if we as humans would learn that most people project those insecurities onto people that they're inspired by or that they're jealous of or that they're intimidated by, it's nothing we're doing wrong. Our energy all is very loud, but that's what we like love the podcast, because we can bring people like yourself who have loud and beautiful and unique energy, and we can all collaborate. Like, no one's in competition. We're all unison. And so many people don't realize that you're really only competing with yourself, your procrastination, your limiting beliefs, your fears. But instead, they take the leaders, the people that are teaching, the people who have a spiritual path, and try to project that fear, whether it's like, oh, that's witchcraft. That's the one thing I've learned a lot recently, is that guys think that if something doesn't work out with us, and I'm going to put a spell onto them. And I'm like, Y'all are wasting my time with this energy.
Not that you're like the Taylor Swift of the spiritual world, and you just like put spells on people instead of writing songs about them.
Yeah, but everything is a projection. Everything, you know, people see their reflection. Whenever, you know, people have called me the worst things in life, you know, and people, unfortunately, people who I thought were close friends at some point. It happens, you know, people who are part of my community or the work. And I came to learn that it's all a reflection, you know, everything is you put out on the other side. So you're gonna get what you're giving. And if what you're getting is negative, you either look at yourself, and if you feel like I'm putting everything out positive, I'm not feeling negative emotions towards this person that is attacking me, right? I know that this is that they are not feeling good. They're not feeling good. And I'm reflecting that back to them. When they look at me, they're seeing negative things, or they want to start drama, or they want to start this or that or the third. They want a problem. They're angry, you know, they don't feel good. And so I'm reflecting that because I'm a mirror to them, to what they're feeling. And so that's why I love when I come across people who are aligned with me in that energy, in that positivity, and just that joy and that knowing that we're able to create our reality and make our life move the way that we want it to. Because I feel free, you know, what I'm looking at is a reflection of myself, and it's good. It's happy. It's joyful. And that's why I always say it's hard to separate yourself from people that you care about, but they're not aligned. Going back to what we were talking about, you know, you want to convince them, and it happens a lot with your best friends, with your family members, unfortunately with people closest to you who are just not there yet, but they might think you're selfish for stepping away and having boundaries, but you're not. Selfish is a person who wants you to not do you so you can do them and make them feel good. So Amen. That's something that we also have to learn, you know?
Amen to that.
Always say that, like, when Rampage gets going, you like feel like you're being preached at. Like, in like the like a positive way, but you give that same like motivational speaker, like, I'm going to preach at you, tell you what's up type vibe.
That's what happens in my manifestation workshops. That's literally what happens. It's like a rampage, and I'm like trying to teach people what I know, what's been my experience, and people are asking questions. Well, what do I do when this, when that? And I'm just like saying everything. Like, it just flows through me, and it's crazy because I don't even know. It just happens.
You can tell, like, when someone's truly in tune with the universe and like passionate about whatever they're speaking on. And like, I went to college for communications and marketing, so I've just applied that to my real life and into like real instances. And like, when I was you know, 19 years old picking my major, I didn't know I would ever use that public speaking degree, but I knew that if I could communicate in any area of my life that I would be better off. Cause I think that's what is lacking with social media is like true communication and true alignment, because you can show the world your highlight reel and be whatever you want on the internet. But then when you sit down and you want to have a conversation with someone, or you're going to teach something, or you're going to be around this person, and it's like, do I actually resonate with them? You know, we can resonate with a TikTok here and there or a post, but we've sat down with people and been like, who is this person? But I really like that your energy kind of shines through with like, take it or leave it. Like, I don't care if you take it, but I'm going to leave it here and you can absorb it. I like that. That's how I feel. Like,
it is. And that's how I am.
At the end of the day, like, I respect that about you, because so many people are not assertive in a sense that it doesn't have to come off rude or mean or anything. Assertiveness just means I know that I am passionate and I'm in this conviction and I'm unwavering on this belief, whether you like it or not. And a lot of people take that as like, you know, intimidation or whatever. And I love that thing. I've seen Gemini share it where it's like, I'm not going to water myself down. You can choke. And I respect that, because a lot of people want spiritual people to be all light and love and not embrace that dark feminine or that darker energy. And I think that's what's helped me the most, is embracing my shadow and realizing that a lot of the choices I made were just because I was in survival mode, or just because I was not confident and not happy. And like you said, that joy, it's a vibration that attracts things to you. So when we're getting that same lesson over and over again, you have to embrace it with love rather than rejecting that lesson. And I think that's really hard for a lot of people who are on that other side that are fearful. So they see someone like you, JC, who's living her life, and they want to project onto you, oh, I like the old version of you. I like this. Because the old version of me was easily manipulated. The old version of me didn't love herself, didn't see herself, didn't appreciate herself, you know?
Literally, the old version of me did not do all the things that I do now. Like, I've cried of joy so many times. Like, I cry of joy whenever I'm crying because I remember something sad or something sad happened. I catch myself. That awareness is what has saved me, because I know what's going to happen if I stay crying, if I stay in a negative emotion. I'm going to get more of that. I'm literally going to get more of that. So I know that I'm not a stupid person. I consider myself a highly intelligent woman. I'm not going to stay doing that. I'm going to feel good. I'm going to turn my attention to something productive, something that feels good, something that's non-resistant, and everything is going to work out. But I have the power to do that. And you're right. I'm very much take it or leave it. That's why at the end of all of my videos, I say, don't say I didn't tell you, because when shit don't go right for you, don't say I didn't tell you. Don't say I was gatekeeping, because I didn't. I felt called to tell y'all. Y'all don't want to listen? Oh, well, you're going to keep seeing me elevate. And I'm going to get to a place where it's like, not that I don't give a fuck, but I said what I said. And now I got to put my attention to something else. So even with this work that I do with the manifestation workshops and stuff, I'm feeling called to do that. But I know that I'm going to reach a level that I'm so busy that I can't be doing that. Yes, I'll go to podcasts and stuff and do interviews and share what I know. And I mean, I'll probably be doing it at a larger magnitude for all I know, right? But this opportunity that I'm giving people now, like very much private, like 15 people will come to my workshop, you know, stuff like that. And you see all the people that I have. So that just goes back to the fact that not everyone is ready. Not everyone, you know, believes that they have that power. So like for me, I just do what I'm called to do. I hear, I listen to the universe, and I do what I need to do, but then I keep going. I got too much shit going on. Like, I'm founder and CEO of multiple companies. I'm next in line for my dad's company. And it's just a lot. It's a lot in the brain. So like, I do what I can, the best I can, but I'm not obsessed with, you know, convincing people or just doing this for the rest of my life. No, I got a lot of things to do. So I'm open to whatever it's going to be, but I know it's going to be good.
Where are you at? Where do you live at?
I live upstate New York right now.
That's so far away.
Where are you guys?
I'm in Idaho, and Paige is in Kentucky.
Oh, okay. I mean, it's a flight away. But yeah, I used to live in Puerto Rico when I was on Are You the One. I lived in the island, but then there was a really bad hurricane and very bad natural disaster. And so then we became homeless and stuff back then, and we had to move to New York. And that's been a journey. Listen, when I tell you, that's why even yesterday or the day before at my show, at my poetry show, I was telling people, I'm like, you guys see me and some of you might think, oh, that's just a girl trying to be positive. She don't know. No, I've been through my fair share of things, you know, like a lot. People would be surprised, but the worst is now behind me. That's just how I feel. No matter what happens, it's behind me now. So what's coming is always better. It's always better. And so that's how I live my life. And that's what I try to tell people. But yeah, I've been through a lot. And I ended up here, upstate New York, which was the last place I thought I'd ever end up in. But it's been of a blessing. I started to paint. I started my poetry. I'm having a retreat, a poetry retreat. So like, yeah, it's the best thing. Everything bad that ever happened to me, anything traumatizing, all the loss, all the pain, all the things I went through, I can say that I'm glad that it happened. And I never thought I would say that, but I'm glad that it happened because now I cry only tears of joy.
No, I made a post just about that today. Like, a lot of people resent the things that you did in survival mode or the things that we had to do in order to survive. But the more that I just appreciate that version of myself that was just trying to figure it out and just trying to make it to another day. Like, I've just like really became so unapologetic about who I'm becoming and like unwavering in my energy, where it's like, if something doesn't align, I can easily let it go now. I can easily just be like, nope, block. I'm blocking you. I'm moving on. I'm letting you go. You're not getting a reaction. And I've really been setting in that lately. But I love that you do poetry, because when I first started my spiritual awakening, I had this epiphany moment that I was going to write poetry. So I started writing poetry. And I put some on my blog, on my website, and I have a whole collection that I submitted to like a writing contest at that time. I mean, this was like 2017. But it was just great because you also mentioned painting. Writing and painting, like, I painted most of these paintings, you can't really see them, but that was like two outlets that I utilized to really get through the blockages that I had. It was like so much was like harbored in my body that it was physically making me ill or sad or depressed. And when I started expressing that, I have like created such a mental freedom that I never thought I would have, truly.
I agree with that. Gemini, are you there?
I did mine, like, for me, I'm not somebody who is artistic in that way. So I poured my energy into creating a different podcast, because that was my first podcast, because that's the way that I was able to express myself and to start speaking things, I don't know, without it necessarily going into it for it to be my journal, because I was always talking to other people. It is such an evolution, because that whole part of my healing journey was being done with a bunch of different people, was being done with one new person every single week and learning something from them about their spiritual journey and like their healing journey and getting like a tip from them and like applying that to my life and whatever. And so I feel like for four seasons of that, so for 3 years, it's been like a super like outpouring of my healing journey and doing that on like a public platform, which is where I feel that when you do show yourself publicly and you're sharing things that you're going through, especially vulnerable things, like we talked about you sharing stuff, like, you know, your whole, like a whole relationship, and Paige and I have our lives on there too. People feel like they get to know you. And so then they feel like they get an input on things that are going on in your life, or that they can treat you a certain way because you're saying that somebody else treated you that way in the past and you let them get away with it. And so I feel like ending up being more spiritual and figuring out ways of protecting your energy and protecting your peace, and what things do you want to share and what things do you want to keep to yourself, and how do you heal through things when people are like pointing out your traumas. Us evolving in that spiritual way and publicly sharing that, I feel like, is almost just like the natural evolution of the way to have healthy boundaries. And people can either become really hardened because they go through those things and people have things that they're projecting or whatever, and you're like, I'm just going to be a shield. Or you can turn that into something that's super healing and that helps other people and is a positive way to channel that energy and put that into your life in so many different ways. And you were talking about how you don't necessarily like identify yourself as like a witch, but like, you know, whatever. I'm super big on like people not labeling themselves. And even inside of like my witchcraft class, like I've had Christians who take my class. I've had Catholics who have taken my class. I have people who don't identify with anything, because the tools of learning your own energy and learning the energy of the universe and learning like I can yield this in a way that works for me. I can combine the energies of these crystals and these herbs or whatever, and I can create this. And it's really undeniable once you're like hands-on doing things to like manifest different realities for yourself, to manipulate energy physically, you know, mentally, whatever. I just think it's a beautiful vibe when we can find each other and we're all on that journey of doing things.
Yes, well said. And I was laughing, I was smiling, because literally in my head I was thinking about when I said that I didn't identify as a witch and then you said that, like, and so it just shows that we are aligned, you know, in these ways. And yeah, for me, I feel like I was raised going to church and stuff like that, and you know, with that mentality, right? About, you know, like everything, God, heaven, hell, all those things, and the Bible and all those things. And I have a lot of respect for all of it. And like I said, and for everyone. And I don't label myself as anything, but I do believe in the law of attraction. I do believe in the law of attraction. And so that's my base. That's my foundation. That is what I know about and what I teach to whoever's ready. But I do resonate with spiritual things that are associated with the term witch. So when I was called that for the first time in my life yesterday, I remember thinking like, is that what I am? Or like, or what is that what this is? Or like, or is this what people are seeing? Or like, what is this? And then you know how when you think about something and then it pops up on Instagram, it popped up when it was like, it was this girl on Insta, and she's like, oh, what type of witch are you based on your sign? And I'm just looking at it like, do I want to give this my attention? And I'm like, fuck it, I go. And I'm like, Libra. And so, you know, even what I heard from her was like, oh, you know, you're a fairy and then this and that and the third and different things. I didn't take offense to any of it. I liked what I heard, you know, because I think that people just put labels on things, but we're just energy, you know, we're all, I feel like, our own goddess and our own god goddesses. Like, we have a power that you can't really put a label on it, you know. We're infinite beings, and that's what we are. So I don't get too caught up with the labels of anything. I just think that we're all powerful and we all have the ability to create our reality with whatever works for us. You know, maybe the crystals and stuff that works for you. For me, you know, I meditate in different types of ways and that works for me. Some people drink the moon water. Some people just leave it in their room. You know, people do, and I feel like it's going to work. Whatever you believe in, that's what's going to work for you. And on the flip side, if you believe in something negative, that's what's going to happen. If you say out your mouth, I can't, you will not. I don't have this, you will not. I'm not going to argue with you and tell you that, you know, something different. The law of attraction is going to give you what you're feeling and what you think about, whether you want it or not. So that's on each person to work on that.
So do you work with, obviously, you mentioned the law of attraction. So I love the law of assumption. Like you mentioned a few things that are the law of assumption, like everything's going to be okay, or that the worst is behind you. That's the law of assumption. And I love working with that one, as in like everything is working out best case scenario. Like that's the law of assumption. And in like putting that out there, I just assume, like, because I am human, that I am meant to have everything that I'm meant to have. I'm meant to be safe. Like, I always like to put things out there, like, I didn't come here to beg for common resources. Like, common resources are mine. I am, like, able to have things that are beyond like common resources. Like I'm able to have luxury things or things that feel luxurious. And for some people, they instantly think luxurious means like money and abundance. But you know, like a warm towel from the dryer when you're getting out of the shower, like a hot warm towel is like luxurious to me. Like that is luxury living, is like something as simple as that, that everybody could have. You know what I mean? But it's like so many people limit themselves, like you said, with the I can't, or I'm broke, or I don't have. And that drives me up the wall. Like when people use the terms I am broke, I just literally want to smack them on their head. I'm just like,
yeah,
worst thing you could say right now.
But that's the thing, though. We are okay. So this is what I talk about all the time. So we have been conditioned and brainwashed since we were born, especially when most people follow what the Bible says, right? Which comes back to what you were saying about, you know, they associate luxury, you know, and money with maybe something bad. Because like there's literally things in the Bible that say things like that, like, oh, the rich is not, you know, like the humble people. Some people really truly believe that the less you have, the greater of a person you are, and you're going to heaven. If that's what you believe, I can't. I'm not even going to say anything about that. But you can't, because when we're born, and this is just a quick thing that is what I wish everybody understood. Our brain is divided by two sides: the conscious mind, which is up here, and the subconscious mind, which is deeper in there. When we're born, our brain is wide open and we're receiving all of these ideas and behaviors based on our environment and what that consists of, and our parents and what they believe and what we're being taught. And all of that, with practice and repetition, creates a paradigm there in your subconscious, which is what you're used to. That. That's what you know. That's repetition is what's going to get you believing what you've believed thus far, right? So like, based on that, people are going to live their lives and think that they're supposed to struggle to get what they want, that, you know, that they're supposed to vent about everything that's going wrong. And, you know, they put themselves deeper in the hole. When if you just understood that, if you reprogram that subconscious to believing that you can create your reality with your thoughts, then you wouldn't do those things that are keeping you from getting the money, getting the relationship, getting the things that you want. And it's really easy, because it's just changing the channel, changing that negative thought, not changing it to a positive thought, but something that feels better than that. That's all you have to do. And then everything works out. And the law of assumption goes hand in hand with the law of attraction, because literally the law of attraction is, you know, that which you think about, that what you give your attention about, you're going to get more of that. So you have to assume that you're going to get good, because that's how the law of attraction is going to work. And then the real thing about that is that you can't just say it. You have to believe it. You have to feel it. Because if you don't, you're just talking. And that's the problem with affirmations too. People just say, I am this, I am that. You don't believe you are that. You don't believe you have that money yet. So you have to go general. You have to go general, and little by little, you will get to those specifics. But first, general. And that's unpopular opinion. People think you got to be specific. No, you don't, especially if you don't believe. Now, if you believe, hey, I believe. So now I do, I am this and that because I know I am. I'm there where I'm like, I know. I don't have no doubt. But in the beginning, going general was something that worked for me so much. Even with my vision board, I focused on what I wanted to feel and not specifically what I would do or where I would go. And it was amazing. I went to Paris. I had my events. I was so happy. I haven't even done a new one because that right there works for me.
I love that. I love that advice because a lot of practitioners teach you like, no, you've got to be so specific and all of that. But I like to tell people to find like their three unwavering things. So for me, my unwavering things is I have to be at peace. If I'm at peace, I can create anything that I needed to create from that space. I need freedom. And I also need safety. If I have those three things, peace, freedom, and safety, those are my unwavering. Money flows to me from that space. Because if I'm safe and I'm at peace, I'm not pressed about money. I'm not pressed about...
And that freedom where you can spend or do whatever you want.
Exactly. So like those three energetic vibrations bring everything that I need into my life from that space. Then I have the, you know... whatever it is, item, job, relationship, whatever physical thing or, you know, 3D representation that you are wanting, it kind of flows to you because you're creating an energetic vibration that matches that. So, you know, a lot of people may not believe they are powerful, but if you can create your reality with it being peaceful, like maybe you didn't grow up in a peaceful home, so you make peace a priority, you will feel powerful. You know what I mean? Like so many people want to jump straight into like, I am rich, I am that bitch, but it's like, that's down
the road. You don't believe it. Is it the universe responds to what you feel, not to what you say. Your vibration, so your subconscious sends a signal to your like to your body, and your body is your vibe, and your vibe is what attracts what you're going to get. So, you know, that's the thing about it. It's like going to the gym, right? If you go 2 days, you're not going to see results. But if you keep going, you're going to see little by little results. And those little results are going to make you believe more in what you're doing. So the same thing is with this kind of work, you know, like, you go general, and if you go general with things that are absolutely possible, then they happen, and then you're like, oh shit, I did that, you know? And then you do a little bit more of it, and you believe a little bit more, and then all of a sudden you're so fucking powerful, like literally you're creating so many things, and so many things are coming to you, and you're like, I did that. And so that's how your power expands. But it's the more you're aware that you're doing it, the more you listen to the universe, and you start by going general, not specific. That's a jump that you just cannot do. You can't get there from where you are, so you don't believe it. But so instead of being like, I'm a millionaire, you can be like, oh, I'm grateful that I have everything I need. I'm never lacking. Everything always works out for me. Those kinds of things. And then when you see that everything is working out for you, then you're like, I did that. And now you can be a little bit more specific and be like, oh, I, you know, universe, let me get 500 because, you know, let me get $500. And then thank you for that. Keep going, do what you can and feel good. And you're going to get that 500. You don't know how, you don't know where, you don't know why, but you're getting it and you get it. And then that's just how it works. You just got to keep going.
So you guys were talking about a lot of like creation energy. And so something that we always do at the end of the episode is we pull a human design card. And I pulled the alchemy card, which is number 6. And the sign is Virgo. And we're having the Virgo full moon. We've been talking about the full moon ceremony.
My rising is Virgo.
I love that. So I wanted to read this card. So this is talking about, we've been talking about balance too. So with the human design card, it's the gift and the shadow inside of it. So like a strength that you are exuding or for you to remember to tap into, and then like the shadow aspect of that and what can be like triggering along that journey. So the gift is diplomacy and the shadow is conflict. The gift of diplomacy makes its way when you allow the invisible barriers between you and the other to vanish, letting true and authentic love in. This is not the artificial mold of love born of the people-pleasing tendencies of white lies and fair weather. This is an honesty that knows the perfect timing with the appropriate words. When you delve into this gift, it's as though you've downloaded the essential recipe for resolve. Instead of infusing more conflict into a situation, you lessen it by adjusting your behavior and energy to what is needed in the moment. The work of a true alchemist. This is accomplished only when you've mastered your own emotional state, having witnessed firsthand its chaotic unreliability, and operate using your inner guidance system. When you free yourself from your tumultuous inner world, you become the catalyst for peace, and your shadow is conflict. The shadow of conflict appears when you are overly identified with your emotional state, a turbulence that wreaks havoc on your entire system. There is a lot of deep-seated emotion packed into this theme. Feelings, moods, and other sensitivities are all present. There may be a fear of intimacy, perhaps due to early life experiences when you were attempting to navigate your emotional world, resulting in an extreme self-reliance as a defense mechanism. On a collective level, this has materialized as borders, racial divides, and a world at large. It is a source of separation and the seed of tribalism. You either own these aspects of self that plunge directly into conflict and keep it as a dysfunctional sanctuary, or contrastingly, avoid conflict at all costs to remain the people pleaser. To unravel this war-prone programming on the collective level, we must first seek to decondition individually. Through the shadow, you have the potential to resurface with the soft armor of this gift. Your themes are resolution, diplomacy, honesty, and softness.
Oh, I love that.
I love that too. I really liked the like showing up authentically, and I feel like sharing what emotions you're having and then figuring out how to take like responsibility of those emotions to like navigate more maturely inside of dynamics. And one of the things too is that you may be attempting to navigate your emotional world, resulting in extreme self-reliance as a defense mechanism. And we can do that so often without even realizing. And I feel like that's where balancing the masculine energy of like being ambitious and being a manifester and doing all these things and always like putting in so much action to be able to find that balance with where, when you can have that emotional side with it too.
Hmm. Yeah, no, like everything resonates. Like I'm a Libra, so I'm all about balance, diplomacy, honesty, like literally justice. That's everything that I'm about. And that's why I love being a Libra, because that's truly how I am. And my rising is Virgo, so I'm very much, you know, particular. Some people like to call me a perfectionist, but I'm not, you know, even today with the messages, you know, when I'm like, oh, are you guys gonna do this, gonna do that? That's how I am. And I'm very much action, you know, action and doing, and I do so much. And but my thing is, like, I am happy to do those things, like, you know, like that's what I like. And I used to have like this big desire to be in a relationship and be married and all these things. And I don't give a fuck anymore, because I'm so happy with myself and the relationship I have with me. And, you know, so now I set those boundaries. I set the boundaries. I have time for self-care because I have a relationship with me. So
it might seem like I'm always like working or doing and stuff, but I'm aware of the things, of the message. I feel like it's a reminder to just like maintain that balance, because it can be easy for that weight to be heavier on one side than the other. And I just think that for me, I have to maintain that balance. So yeah, thank you so much for that.
Well, I just want to say, I really love this conversation that we had, because I feel like people can really learn a lot from you, JC. You have a lot of passion, and we would love to have you back on in the future.
Yeah.
And
talk more about- we have to, because we didn't even talk about my poetry or nothing. It's just, it's so much info that just flows out of me that I can't even, I'm like, damn, am I talking too much? But I'll come back for sure. We can continue talking and whatever.
Yeah. And I was also going to suggest, like, maybe one time for our full moon circle, you could be like a special guest and like bring a little segment in and share that with our community, because I know a lot of people are going to love you from this episode. So in the description box, we'll put all of your social media where they can find you and where they can connect with you. And we're just so grateful. Is there a message that you want to leave everyone with today?
Yes. I mean, yes, I always have a message, but I want to say first, thank you so much for having me. I really enjoyed this. I can talk for days. I'm obsessed with all this stuff. Like, so I really thank you guys for allowing me to come here and share whatever it is I had to say. Come to my poetry club, I want to say to you, Rev, because like, it's such an amazing safe space for everyone to share and express themselves. And it does raise your vibration. It helps you release what no longer serves you. So I want to invite everyone to come to I'll Be JC Poetry Club. We have 3 shows a week. Also having a retreat, also working on a book of the work I do with the positive manifestation stuff. I feel like I want to do so many different books with all the things I do, but that's, I feel like, the most important one that I just have to do with the stuff that is like all here, like wanting to flow out. So yeah, what I would say to everyone is to watch your thoughts, guys. You bring about what you think about. So it's important that you focus only on what you desire and not what you fear. You know, anything that you fear, throw it out the window, because you don't want more of that. You want more of the good stuff. So feel good. That's your job, to feel good. And yeah, that's all I got. Thank you so much.
Thank you, JC. We are so grateful for this platform to be able to share this space with you all. And we will see you all next time in Candyland. Bye.
Bye.
Bye, Jonah. Bye, Jonah.